You guys, here we are. We've made it. We've reached episode number 15 of the 99% Local Podcast, which now concludes season one of the podcast. I have a correction to make first, though, regarding last week's episode. While Dan Burkhardt of Wicked Tasty was really episode number 14, I referred to it as episode number 13 in the intro, so my mistake. So yeah, the end of season one, 15 episodes in, and awesome feedback from you, the listeners. I'm going to be taking a short break through the holidays, and we'll be back after the new year in 2020 with new episodes, new guests, and new stories. If you or someone else you know has a story to tell and live right here in Middle Tennessee, drop me a line at 99%localpod@gmail.com. Also, during this little break, you have a great opportunity to catch up on all past episodes from season one on the website at 99%localpod.com or on your favorite podcast app. My guest on this week's show is Jeremy Mitchell. To most, baseball is entertainment. To others, it's a business, and to a very lucky few, it's a job. But within Jeremy's company, Mitchell Bat Company, baseball is an art, an American institution full of talent, beauty, and history. Baseball gave Jeremy a way to find father figures he desperately needed as a kid growing up near Nashville, Tennessee. And his heritage-inspired bats, made of maple and painted by hand, have given him a way to give back to kids in search of the same things today. Mitchell Bat Company has become sort of a cult favorite among baseball diehards. Along with quickly catching the eye of ESPN, Ralph Lauren, and Ebbets Field flannels, Jeremy has seen his bats featured by such prestigious publications as Martha Stewart Weddings, In Style, and Country Living. Jeremy has had the opportunity to make custom bats for clients such as Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Topps Baseball Cards, and most recently, the Boston Red Sox. He's also shipped his handcrafted bats as far as London and Australia. So let's get to it. Here is my conversation with Jeremy Mitchell, founder and creative director of Mitchell Bat Company.
I've always loved baseball, and I played Little League Baseball as a kid, and you know, I went to games with my family, and I just have a lot of fond memories about baseball. After school one day, my buddy, he showed me his baseball card collection. He had an album kind of like this, but he had a Darryl Strawberry rookie card. And it was like behind this like really awesome protective case. And after seeing that card, I was hooked. I sent a letter to Cecil Fielder, Nolan Ryan, Will Clark. Every day after school, I would come home and ask my mom, did anything come today? Man, when something came in the mail, the Cecil Fielder was like my favorite because it came in a big envelope and I pulled it out and there it was, his signature. Cecil Fielder right there on the thing. Baseball is on in my house all the time. And I watch the games and I study the uniforms and I look at the old photos from the 1920s of the uniform design and different stripe patterns in baseball. So I started drawing these baseball bats with different stripes and color patterns, and I posted those on Instagram and people started liking them. And next thing you know, people were asking, you know, where can we buy these things? I thought, you know, maybe I should try to make this a real thing. I know I wanted one, that's why I started it. It was October 30th, 2013, during Game 6 of the World Series, and I'm just sitting here by myself watching this game. And so, just got super excited, and I couldn't wait any longer, so I launched Mitchell Bat Company. One thing led to another, and 4 days later, I sold my first bat. A couple days later, a guy in Oakland bought a bat, and then the day after that, somebody in Hawaii bought a bat. And then a week later, I was featured on CoolMaterial.com. A week after that, I was featured on ESPN Holiday Gift Guide, and so all these things just kept happening just really fast. And so we had to really figure out how to run this thing, and the rest is history. When I go to a baseball game, I'm just a big kid. I want the autograph and I want the foul ball, and you know, I get there and it's heaven to me. And for nine innings, I'm a kid again. And my real hope is that people will look at my bats and get inspired to go and watch a baseball game or go pick up a glove and go have a catch, or they're reminded of something that their grandfather told them about baseball. And really, the more bats we sell to people, the less about the bats it's becoming.
Thanks for rescheduling like 100 times on for me. Yeah. Really sorry about that.
Yeah, no problems. It was just kind of funny. I'm still laughing about it. We were trying to do this during the, I think we first started talking game one of the World Series, and then we rescheduled and it was like game six. And so what's your thoughts on team coming to Nashville? I don't think it's official. They're still working on that, but
yeah, the Nashville Stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been not a fan of expansion teams. It just feels like, just unpure for some reason.
Yeah.
But, I'm almost afraid to have a pro baseball team here in Nashville because I'm afraid that I'll be tempted to be at like all home games and go all out and never miss a game. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I think it would be good for the city. I think our city can handle it. Me as a fan, it's hard to say. I'm on the fence about it, 50-50. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't know. I just, I'm torn. I mean, I think I'd like the team just because it's Nashville. So it's definitely going to be, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 too, like you said. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like the, you know, I don't remember, and I wasn't here when the Titans came here, you know, for football.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was here. I'm from here. So I've seen the Predators come and the Titans and the Nashville Cats. Was the Arena Football League.
Yeah.
I think there was a WNBA team here for a second. Even further back, when I was a kid, there was a minor league hockey team called the Nashville Knights. And those games were pretty rowdy. They're at the Municipal Auditorium. And they're like on the weekends. And there was like during the period breaks, they would have dodgeball competition between like the first like 50 fans who could run down to the concourse, like when they like ring a bell, and the balls would like come from the ceiling, and it's like all these guys that are like questionably not sober, probably just like wearing like sneakers, tennis shoes out in the ice, just falling flat on their face playing dodgeball on ice. It was fun. It was a sight to see for sure.
Yeah, let's get right into this, man. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
I was looking forward to having you come on and talk about your story and about what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So this is your 15th episode.
15th, yes.
Yeah, so you've passed the number 10 milestone, which is hard for a lot of podcasters. I'm not there yet, but I hear once you get past episode 10, it's the glory after that. Yeah, and thanks for rescheduling on me, or it was my fault. Thanks for understanding.
No worries. So let's take this way back, your childhood. What was that like? I know, you know, I've heard your story on a few other podcasts, including your own. Kind of talk about that and, you know, what you did as a kid, what your upbringing was like, how you actually got interested in baseball specifically.
Yeah, so I grew up in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is about 25 minutes from Nashville. And I'm the youngest. I have two older sisters, and my mom signed us all up for T-ball every summer and basketball every winter. And I played football for just a little bit. And T-ball was kind of, you know, it was the thing that we did as kids. There wasn't much else going on in the summer. We didn't have soccer or tennis or anything like that. So T-ball was kind of it. And I grew up, I played every summer up until high school. And just loved playing the game. And also loved collecting baseball cards. That was a big, big, big part of my love for baseball and sports in general. You know, I would spend all my money on baseball cards, and you know, my buddy Jason Hargrove and I would go down to this baseball card store called DJ's, and the building is still there, but the baseball card store inside is long gone. But they had everything. I mean, they had Mickey Mantle rookies, they had Michael Jordan rookies, common cards, you know, and you could bring in your cards and trade with these like grown men, and you know, like get the cards that they needed, and it was just fun. It was something we did as kids.
Funny, we had very similar childhoods. I grew up playing baseball, collecting baseball cards. It was actually, I started listening to some of your own podcast episodes, and I pulled out my book of my most, you know, I guess my most prized cards I have. I have them in a binder. I think I've got rid of all the other cards that I used to have growing up. My parents moved out of the house that I grew up in, and I got rid of all that stuff. You know, I had those starting lineup figures too, man. I remember those. Yeah.
Yep. I still have them. Every once in a while I'll go on eBay and I'll pull the trigger on like a Daryl Strawberry, you know, starting lineup out of the package, like not even like in good shape, but, every once in a while I'll still buy those things. But, we got really big into, my buddy Hargrove and I, we got really big into writing, baseball players, letters in the mail, like asking for their autograph.
Okay.
And that was kind of like, the hobby of collecting baseball cards is one thing, but the hobby of getting stuff signed through the mail is exciting and it's frustrating, and I miss it, and I don't even know how many letters I sent out, but we were constantly just sending letters to baseball players, and we would get a lot of them back. Even Michael Jordan, I sent him a letter to have him autograph a thing, but he didn't sign the thing I sent him, but he sent me back like an autograph photo, maybe like his assistant or whatever. But I got stuff in the mail from tons of players that would sign autographs, and I don't even know if kids are even doing that these days.
Yeah, I have no idea. So do you remember, I think we're similar in age, but do you remember they had the baseball cards in boxes of cereal too?
Oh yeah, Post. Yeah,
yeah,
Post cereal.
Post. Fruity what's Pebbles, funny about those, things like that.
Yeah, what's funny about those cards is like I was always frustrated by those cards because they weren't allowed to use the logos.
Yep.
Like
on
the team. So it was like a Cal Ripken Jr. card, but he's just like wearing like a black hat, you know, no Oriole, or like a black jersey. It's like, what happened to his jersey?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, totally. So, hey, one thing I wanted to bring up, which was pretty funny and coincidental, is I know in one of your episodes of your podcast, you talked about spending summers, I think in Rockville, Indiana.
Yeah.
I totally went there as a kid as well.
No kidding. Why?
Yeah, we used to spend summers like at the Raccoon Lakeside Lodge there on Raccoon Lake, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then in the fall we'd go to the Covered Bridge festivals too.
No way. Yeah, I was just there. Yeah, actually, right before we hopped on this call, I was eating some sassafras candy.
Yeah,
from one of the booths there. I always get. Like I always go and I'm like, I'll take 20 bags, and they're like $2 a bag.
Yeah.
And I'm on my last bag of sassafras for at least a year, if we even go back to the Covered Bridge Festival, again. But yeah, that place has always been special to me. I've never actually met anyone that's ever been there before, so that's cool that you've been.
Oh yeah, small a lot of world. Memories. So moving forward, you know, how did you, after playing baseball, once you got older, high school, college, how did you get interested in design? I know you spent time as a musician at a certain point in your life as well.
Yeah, the music is 100% how I got into design. And also my wife, my wife basically taught me how to design, and, even before we were even dating, I was one of her clients. I hired her to design my CD packaging, and so I through that process of me working with her, I fell in love with design, and I fell in love with her, and she prompted me to go buy a laptop and get all the programs and start learning, and so it was a it was a very fast process for me to learn design because I needed stickers and T-shirts and all these things that I wanted to bring to my shows and have merch and and I didn't have any money to pay a designer, of course, to make all these things. And through that process, I started getting clients because the people at these shows would see my stuff and they'd say, "Hey, who designed this?" And I would say, "I did." And they'd say, "Can you do that for me?" And I would say, "Yes." And I barely charged them any money, probably did it for free, probably, because I was just so excited to be able to make this stuff on my own. Me having a marketing degree, no design background other than just like in high school and all through middle school, you know, drawing and being an A student in art classes and just enjoying the process of creating something out of nothing sparked me to, you know, start a design career.
Let's talk about August of 2013 with the project you were asked to help with.
Yeah. So that project was a free project for a skateboard company. And okay. My friend now, Brad Davis, I didn't know Brad at the time. I mean, I knew who he was. I'd probably say like a dozen designers in Nashville that are kind of like my design heroes. And Brad Davis being one of them, and Matt Lehman being another, Tom Okerson, Micah Smith. So that group of guys was kind of assembled by Brad Davis because he wanted to just bless this skateboard company in Nashville that was doing good things for the community. And they asked me to be a part of it. And I was flattered and I was nervous. And we were just about to have our second baby girl. And I agreed to do this free project when I had zero time, really, because I was banking freelance projects like crazy. Because as you know, when you have children, there's a like an 8-month window, I would call it, like a newborn fog that all dads and moms go through, and they can't really commit to anything outside of just making sure this baby has everything they need. So I said yes to this project, and I would go down to their shop like once a week or so for about a month and a half just to see what they were all about, you know, like to capture photos and videos of them working with their hands and building these skateboards out of nothing. And doing that project, I realized that I had a desire in myself to make something out of wood, but I didn't know what it was. And I'm not a woodworker. I didn't own a lathe. Didn't even know what a lathe was. Didn't know how bats were made. But I had this idea to put stripes on baseball bats. And my first step was to just draw them on paper. And I would do that, and then I would, you know, close my book, and I'd go on to the next thing, and then I would open that book back up, and I would draw more baseball bats. I drew like hundreds of bats, like in a really short amount of time. And for some reason, I don't know why I did this, but I would post those photos on my personal Instagram account at German Mitchell Instagram, and people started asking questions, and they were saying like, "Are you gonna make these bats for real, or what are you doing? What are these bats?" And you know, I would respond like, "No, I'm just drawing. I just had this in my mind. I just wanted to draw it." And I just kind of continued that process. And I wasn't trying to start a business. I wasn't trying to start a side hustle or a movement or anything like that. It was just pure, just for fun. And then I started thinking more about like, okay, what colors would I do if I were gonna make a baseball bat? And so I would take those drawings, and I found some like on Google Images, like just like blank bats, just like plain bats, and I'd throw those into Photoshop, and I would create the stripe patterns, and I would post those on Instagram. Like now the concept is kinda it's growing, and it's growing legs, and now people can understand like, "Oh, okay, these look kind of real, and I like the way they look." And that's when I started getting emails from people that I didn't know asking me when my website is going to go live. They want to buy a bat. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so the more I thought about it, the more I was like, man, I might attempt to do this. And so I ran the idea by a guy named Jacob Henley. He was the founder of the skateboard company. And I said, hey, man, I scheduled a meeting with him. And I said, I can't stop thinking about these skateboards that you make. Like, they're so cool. And I want to do something very similar with baseball bats. And I showed him, you know, my mock-ups, and I showed him a few other things that, you know, that inspired me, like, you know, boat paddles or canoes, or people that put stripes on axe handles. And I said, no one's doing this for baseball. Like, I researched and I can't find anything of anyone doing it. And so what do you think? You think I should do this? And Jacob looked at me, long pause, and he said, you're going to put your kids through college with this idea. And I just like burst out laughing. I was like, nah, that's not the reason for this. Like, no way. No one's going to buy these. Like, this is so much work. Like, I doubt I'll ever make anything of this, but I'm glad you liked the idea. And then took all that, you know, that inspired me. And then I took it to another mentor of mine, and I showed him, and he was like, you know, this is kind of cool. And I really like this idea. And so the idea was really simple. It was obviously put stripes on baseball bats, and also give money to a charity that helps inner city baseball leagues. And so that was kind of the concept, piggybacking off of what Salem Town Board Co., the skateboard company, does, is they hire and train and mentor inner city kids. And so I wanted to give back to the community, and I didn't just want it to be, you know, just to make money or anything like that. I wanted it to be something that had some meaning behind it.
Going into, you know, making these bats, I mean, what kind do you make? Do you have your own stock designs? It looked like you do a lot of custom, you know, custom designs and custom logos as well.
Yeah, so the bats are, most of them are maple. Some of them are ash. If the bat calls for a flame char, we use the ash bats so it doesn't crack the maple. And those are a lot of fun to do. But yeah, it started off as just like stripes, you know, just simple, yeah, very simple stripes. I kind of miss doing the stripes. We do a lot of custom work now. The majority of what we do is custom. But those original 11, I call them, there's 11 bats that was kind of like our staple for a very long time. And then people started requesting different colors and different, you know, logos on the bats and things. But yeah, so we do a wide range of team colors, company colors. A lot of companies get our bats with their logo on it for various reasons. It's kind of all over the place.
After you got this going and started selling these bats, how long did it take to, you know, start getting acknowledged by, you know, some of the people that, you know, saw what you're doing, like ESPN, Sports Illustrated? I think I saw you were featured in Martha Stewart magazine and even Oprah's magazine.
Yeah, that all happened really fast, and it was kind of crazy. I launched the site on October 30th of 2013, and I sold my first bat 4 days after we launched, and that was crazy because I wasn't ready. Like, I didn't have any bats. I didn't know how to make a bat or get a bat. But I had on the website, when I launched it, I had on the website that it would take 6 to 8 weeks to get your bat. And in my mind, I was like, okay, if I launch it today and someone buys a bat tomorrow, then I have 2 months to fulfill an order. Surely that's enough time. And 2 weeks after the launch, ESPN reaches out and asks us to be in their holiday gift guide for Black Friday. And that was so exciting and scary, and like, holy cow, like, what are we doing with, you know, ESPN wants to feature us. And that was our first feature first of many that happened very soon after that. It seemed like every day there was a different men's blog that I follow was tweeting about me or writing about me. A writer from Sports Illustrated came to Nashville to run a story about me, and it was fun and exciting. And I look back at the good old days of 2013 and 14, and it wasn't that long ago. It was only 6 years ago, but it seems like I've had to do a lot of growing up since then.
In your career, you've taken on a variety of roles, you know, being creative director, doing web development. So is Mitchell Bat Company full-time?
No, it's not. And no. I get that question a lot. And I get that question. That's probably like the most frequently asked question.
Yeah.
And some people that ask that, I say, no, it's not my full-time job. And they almost have like a look of like confusion or like disappointment or something that they were like expecting me to be like, yep, it's my full-time job. But no, it's not. And I've always kind of had multiple things going on at once, even since I was a kid. You know, in middle school, I was a student, I was an athlete. I sold candy on the side. And I got in trouble at school for selling candy. And so my, like, entrepreneur spirit was in me a long time ago. But, no, it's not my full-time job. But it's some days it feels like it is. From just, you know, orders coming in or managing a team. It feels very much like a full-time job sometimes. But not all the time. We have down times. We have up times.
Sure. Yeah. So you already mentioned this, but a portion of all your proceeds benefit baseball-minded nonprofits. So what organizations are you supporting?
Yeah. So we started off giving to the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. That was probably like the longest one that we've given to, and then we switched gears. About 2 years ago, we started giving to Don Mattingly's charity in Evansville, Indiana. Currently, we are not giving to charities. We're only giving to our church we go to. But yeah, we've donated bats to the Boys and Girls Club to auction off. There was a bat that we made for Don Mattingly that he signed. He autographed it, and we sold it through their charity, like on eBay. You can, like, if you post something on eBay, you can choose a charity to give it to. It was pretty simple. And Don Mattingly's charity is one of those charities. And the bat brought in like $815.
Wow.
For just one of a kind Mitchell bat signed by Don Mattingly, $815 to his charity.
Wow.
And that was cool. I was blown away by that. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So
anytime we go to a Marlins game, if they're playing the Braves or the Reds, we get field access and we get to go and talk to Donnie in the dugout. He's a great guy. He's fun to talk to.
You know, I heard some of the people and organizations you've worked with, you know, so who are some of the heavy hitters you've worked with or you're most proud of working with? You know, whether sports related or not.
Oh yeah. So I mean, the most proud for sure is the Boston Red Sox. They commissioned a couple of bats from me to use in their 2019 marketing campaign for the whole season. Mm-hmm. And so I made them two baseball bats. One was red with white stripes, and one was white with red stripes. And you can go to my Instagram. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see those bats and what they did with them. And they had this like amazing photo shoot with the whole team. And it was just like so magical. And we got to visit Fenway Park this past summer. And, you know, they gave us free tickets and they gave us a private tour of the whole place. And we got to go inside the Green Monster, and I got to put up numbers, you know, inside the Green Monster by hand. And we signed our name. My wife and I got to go and do that. It was so cool. That's by far like my favorite best memory of Mitchell Batt so far, and it was like the most recent one.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of fun things have happened that I would have never dreamed of. We got to paint the bats for Louisville Slugger for the Home Run Derby that was in Washington, D.C. last summer. So the bats, the 2018 Home Run Derby bats, were painted by us, and they gave those out to the not only the Home Run Derby participants that swing Louisville Slugger, but all the All-Stars that swing Louisville Slugger got a Mitchell Batt collaboration Louisville Slugger bat.
So how did you get going into retail stores? It looked like you're in quite a few.
Yeah, a lot of that is them just reaching out to me. I've reached out to a few of them, but Ralph Lauren was the biggest one. I would say early 2014, Ralph Lauren reaches out and they said, you know, via email, they said, can you hop on a call? We're interested in selling your bats in our flagship store in Manhattan. You know, would you be interested, kind of thing? And so we hopped on a call. And the guy on the other end of the phone, he was like, okay, cool, we want this many bats, and it's going to cost, you know, we'll pay you this and ship them to this address. And it was like all like really fast. And I said, how did you hear about me? And because I've only been around for like 2 months. And he said, oh, David Lauren has one of your bats, which David Lauren, if you know, is Ralph Lauren's son, married to Lauren Bush. And so he's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah.
So someone gave him one of our bats for Christmas, and he liked it so much that he was like, I got to have these in our store. And we did it. They're there in the flagship store amongst other sporting goods. They called it their, quote, boys toys collection.
Yeah.
And we're in Ebbetsfield Flannels, and I've become friends with the owner of Ebbets out there in Seattle. That's a store that I'm super proud still that we're in. And we're in, you know, various menswear stores. There's a store called Tailgate that's owned by American Eagle. Todd Snyder started that one. So we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. So let's talk about your podcast for a minute. You're doing a podcast called The Jeremy Mitchell Show. You know, what's the premise of that podcast?
So over the last 6 years, I've had so many mentors and inspiring conversations of people that have kind of come out of nowhere that I've been able to just talk to and ask questions and be inspired by. And so it's me talking to those people and really just sharing like the last 6 years of Mitchell Batt and these unique conversations that I've had with these people. And I've always wanted to have a podcast, and I actually had a podcast like 10 years ago, back when it wasn't as popular as it is now. And so one of my goals for 2019 was to have a podcast. And that seemed like that was the thing that would be the easiest to get started, is to just talk to my friends that I've made through Mitchell Batt. And I think it's going pretty well. I'm having a good time doing it, for sure.
Yeah, no, I listened to a couple of those episodes and I enjoy it, you know, very sports related and related to what you're doing. So
yeah, thank you.
So we're approaching 2020, you know, what's in store for the next year for what you're doing?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because after doing this for 6 years, you know, it's hard to continue to do new things and be inspired by the work. So in 2020, my wife and I, we're launching another brand, actually. And it's sports related, and it's going to be called Mitchell Athletics. And it's going to be baseball and hockey and throwing axes and, you know, golf, football, all the basketball. It's going to be more sports than just Mitchell Batt or Mitchell Batt. You know, after the last out of the World Series, you know, I'm like, well, see you in February, I guess I'm gonna watch some hockey. But I mean, we celebrate sports in my house. Like, we're constantly watching football. We watch the Indy 500. We watch the Kentucky Derby. We watch the Stanley Cup, and you know, it's sports are a big part of my family, even growing up, and even now with Mitchell Batt, it's been just like that's the majority of what we do in the summers. And so, yeah, we're going to launch a new brand in 2020.
Well, cool. That'll be, is you doing that earlier on in the year or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet. So like right now we're working on the brand itself. Like we're working on the logo and, you know, crafting stories and creating products. And it's a lot of fun. And with Mitchell Batt, I didn't have the luxury of this like window prior to us launching because I launched it basically like in 10 minutes. Like it was not thought out. Like none of it was thought out. And we didn't have time to catch our breath or even really think anything through. It was all just reactionary. And so, I don't know, we're not setting a date yet. It's going to be sometime in 2020, early on. I'm assuming early on in 2020 we'll launch this thing, but you're kind of hearing it here first.
Well, awesome. Yeah, that's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what you're doing. So,
yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So, what is Jeremy Mitchell and what are you and your family doing when you're not working?
Oh man, we're going to Leaper's Fork.
Yeah.
Walking around there. We're hanging out at the house watching Doc McStuffins. you know, my daughters are very musical. Like we have a baby grand piano at our house that my wife inherited. And so my oldest daughter, she's in piano lessons and my wife just can crush a piano. She's super talented musician. And, you know, we sit around and play music. We have an art room in our house where the girls have full reign of like scissors and paper and tape and glue. And they're all the time making something, out of nothing. But yeah, we turn our TV off every once in a while, no sports on. We're like a, you know, normal family in Nashville that goes to Chick-fil-A and eats chicken.
hot chicken and barbecue.
yeah pretty much.
To wrap up here, how can the listeners find you and find more about Mitchell Batt Company?
Yeah, so you can go to mitchellbattco.com. That's mitchellbatco, Mitchell Batt Co. Also Mitchell Batt Co on Instagram. I post quite often there. Believe it or not, I've been posting a lot of content on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's kind of back. So you can search Jeremy Mitchell, Mitchell Batt Co. on LinkedIn. But pretty much Instagram is the place to find me.
Okay. I saw you have your own website too, jeremymitchell.com, where you're actually booking some speaking gigs as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. That's been my personal site for a long time. It's that URL has ranged from music to like linking off to a MySpace page to showing print design, web design, application design, and now recently I switched it over to a speaking portfolio because I want to do more of that in 2020. I've been on the stage more than I thought I would ever be on the stage this year. And so, yeah, I'm looking to do more of that, travel and tell my story and start, you know, meeting people that way.
Well, awesome, Jeremy. This was great. Thanks for doing this again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.